This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden set to go with the show today.
Ooh,
and
rhyming
too. On the
first too.
Day of September. How yes. about that?
Where did it go?
I don't know.
How did that happen?
Don't blame me. That's all.
You wake up gone. One day and it's September.
So Charlie comes into the station and to be accosted by me with a question. Are crickets lucky? And she's, what? What? So, yeah, we have crickets in the cabin there on the
cozy.
Farm. And it's driving
loud.
Shirley.
Yes.
Oh, and they are loud. Yeah. So I said, do you think that crickets are lucky? I've heard that.
And I said, I think they are.
Yeah, well, indeed they are. Apparently, crickets are considered good luck by most Native American tribes. Cricket wisdom is said to represent joy, intuition, and power of belief. And there's some interesting little thing. I just want to get this in. From noblemen and famous artists to peasant farmers and Buddhist monks, people throughout history have kept caged crickets to enjoy their song. Crickets chirp or sing.
Tell Shirley that.
Yeah.
People do actually keep them for their
song.
Yeah,
that's right.
You're lucky, right?
They chirp or sing by rubbing their wings together, and only the male cricket sings, often to attract a female or to fend off another male cricket. Now, here's the thing that caught your attention, too. If you count the number of chirps in 15 seconds, then, at 37, you can estimate the approximate outdoor temperature in degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
So you know what would be interesting? Count your indoor cricket chirps.
Yeah.
Then go outside and count the outdoor cricket chirps and see if
there's a difference.
Yeah. If there really is. Because, you know, how would the indoor cricket
That's
know
right.
what the outdoor temperature is? Right? It should be telling you the indoor temperature.
That's right.
Like, you should. I mean, assuming they're different, right?
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. But we used to have a little brass cricket box.
Really?
Yeah, that supposedly you keep by the hearth for good luck. I'm wondering, what the heck do you feed them, though, you know?
Cricket.
You can't leave them in that box
without starve to death.
Some food.
Well, isn't that in your fact sheet? There's no information
no,
on
don't,
feeding.
I don't see any what they eat. But
Well, I guess you wouldn't want to catch a girl cricket either, because she wouldn't sing.
No,
you only
true.
Want boy crickets.
But apparently they lay hundreds of eggs, not just one. But
of
when
course,
they
yeah.
when they do lay eggs, it's in the hundreds.
That's why insects are so successful.
So I'm just hoping that the cricket we have, or a couple of crickets we have indoors, aren't preggers. Because
well,
that would not be fun.
Well, if they're singing, they're boys, right?
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, okay, gee whiz.
Maybe you
should
do your job and tell people the phone numbers.
Right. And my job is to give you the phone numbers for The Garden Show, where some crickets abide.
Yeah, where we talk about insects and birds.
Yeah,
we like birds, too.
Yeah. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Then anywhere else in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra is call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know when you get to the airwaves. That will precede you, the little welcoming bell. You'll get your garden wings.
That's right.
Okay?
Very special.
Alrighty.
You can't just get garden wings anywhere. You have to come onto this show
exactly.
to get the wings.
You got it.
And who would really needs wings in the garden? I'm not sure, but you just, you know, it's nice getting that aerial view of how the garden looks. Check out your designs and colors. So things going on, of course, as we get back into the season. Summer is over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the various clubs start meeting again. The Agent Court Garden Club did tell me about their upcoming next weekend, September the 8th, drop-in between 2 and 4:30 at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. That's in Agent Court. Big event, big show, big competition, certainly worth dropping by, completely open and free to everyone. If you're in the Brantford area, this is a really good field trip. Like, you and I and Shirley would love this place. Whistling Gardens. Have you ever been there?
Yes, but you've spoken of this many times.
They're having their 7th annual fabulous fall sale. Starts this weekend. They are open all this weekend. It's such an interesting story. I really should get Darren on the show because I don't think we've ever had him on the show. I think maybe his wife was on the show at one point. You know, it's such an interesting story. Here's a guy, he was like in his 20s. Like, who does this? In your 20s, you decide you're going to start your very own botanical gardens.
Wow.
Right? So you buy land and you proceed to plants. Mm-hmm. And he's such a specialist when it comes to very unusual specimens, particularly evergreens. This is a huge garden. Like, this is acres and acres, all done by him, his family, mm-hmm. his workers, with love, right? It's all just about the love of the plants and sharing with the public. Now, of course, they do use the gardens now for events, so weddings and receptions and things like that. So, you know, there's always special things like garden gift kits. This is all happening right now for sale. But the Garden Center is open, like I said, all weekend. And, of course, the hours throughout September are Tuesday through Sundays, 9:30 to 5, normally closed on Mondays, but this weekend they are open.
Do they have a web address that folks could check them out possibly? Or?
Well, that's a good point. Yes, Whistling Gardens, one word, whistlinggardens.ca.
Huh.
And, definitely check them out. I printed off a bunch of stuff. Musical fountains, gardens, birds. Like, they got birds there, like unusual. They got a whole aviary of birds. It's such a cool place. So, yeah, it's the little garden that could. It is a botanical garden, and they do all kinds of cool things
there. Congratulations to them.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah, and it's, if you're in the area, like, you know, go, and you and I should make a field trip there.
There you go. Okay. Something to do for Frankie and
Charlie. Like, we need things to do. So I've got obviously some emails piling up, which I'm happy to share as we get into the show, and also a very interesting couple of things, announcements out of OMAFRA, the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food, and next Saturday.
Yes.
Here on The Garden Show, we're going to have a very special guest joining us from the Toronto Zoo with a very big announcement.
Oh.
So keep that in mind.
All righty.
Schedule The Garden Show for next Saturday. You're going to want to hear about that announcement.
Excellent. Okay. We're going to come back in just a couple of moments to say hi to Jack in Welland and find out what's on his mind here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Jack from Welland, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to know something about crabgrass.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor next door, he sprayed for crabgrass. Now the lawn is completely golden.
Yeah. Sorry.
So how soon can he start growing again grass?
So what do you think your neighbor sprayed?
He sprayed Kill All.
Kill All. So Kill All kills all.
Everything. Yeah.
All, right.
So, now, I have no idea. I was actually in a person's yard a week or so ago, and their entire lawn was crabgrass.
Oh,
so
wow.
Perhaps your neighbor was the same way. It's all crabgrass. But either way, it's dead. If it's yellow, it's in the process of dying. He can go in and reseed anytime because the kill-all will not be residual. It's not staying in the soil and making it a poisonous environment for anything else to grow. But remember, in order to get good seed germination from turf grasses, we need to get the seed in contact with the soil below. So if he's got a lot of dry, golden, dead and dying turf there now, going out and broadcasting fresh seed, I would, if possible, if it's a, you know, kind of size yard, he can get out there and get some top dressing of whatever kind of triple mix, compost, whatever soil, light layer of that out as well, and a raking, you know, soft raking to get those seeds to drop down into contact with the soil below and the soil above. We get some rain coming. We've got thunderstorms in the coming forecasts, and perfect. Those seeds will germinate within a week. So he'll be back to being green within 2 weeks, you know. But I think that the challenge is just getting those seeds in a situation where they will grow.
All right.
Okay, Jack.
Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for calling.
And I'm delighted to welcome our next caller to the airwaves. First time caller, Mary from Mississauga. Hey, there you go. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
I have a most beautiful Phalaenopsis.
Yep.
That I bought at Freshco months ago, and very few of the flowers have fallen off. It's just gorgeous.
Nice.
Today I will give it 3 ice cubes.
Oh, yeah. You like that method? That works. Yeah.
That works. So I've gone back and bought 3 more. So they're my children now because mine are all grown up. and my daughter has one that has not done so well because she was away a bit.
Right.
What is the care of these, or what happens to them?
Well, orchids, as you know, a Phalaenopsis, commonly known as a moth orchid, that will come with a tag on it. I met yours might even had a tag that said 3 ice cubes once a week.
Right.
And that is what the reason the ice cubes works is because it's a slow melt. So it's a very slow percolation of that moisture down around the roots,
right,
through the bark chips or whatever moss that these orchids have been grown in. And that's what they want. They like that. They don't want to sit in water. They also don't want to, dry out. It's like desert-like conditions. So they like that sort of high humidity, if you will, around the roots.
Okay.
And that's what the ice cubes provide. I, on the other hand, and I think, Frank, did you say you have an orchid right now?
I killed it.
Oh, you killed it.
I killed it.
Oh, dear. Okay, so we'll leave Frank out of this discussion for a minute.
No, we got on holidays. I forgot to darn well water. Then every Wednesday, I was submersing it completely.
Mm, yeah.
And I think 2 Wednesdays went by, and it went by.
Need to put an alert on your phone, I guess.
Know.
Okay, so what I do is what Frank was attempting to do, but of course, consistency is important. It'd be like forgetting to feed your children, right? They'd eventually starve to death. It was like, oh, that'd be called neglect.
I'm on phone every Saturday.
So I the pail of water, room temperature water, or in your case, ice cubes. And what I would do, and Frank was doing it, is the pot the orchid is in goes into that bucket of water, leaves go right under the water, air bubbles come out, you hold it there until the air bubbles stop coming out, which is, 10, 20, 30 seconds. Lift that orchid out of the pail, let it drain in the sink back into the northern or eastern window. So it's a humidity thing more than anything. If you like misting plants, misting the leaves is good. If you can be consistent with your watering and your temperatures and your light levels, those flowers can last for months and months and months. When the flowers are finished, plant takes a rest for sometimes a couple of weeks, pops up another flower. So
winter when it's very dry in the house, right?
That's where your misting is even more important. Your spritzing.
So
all right,
mist it often.
Pardon? Oh, once a day if you can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or twice a day even.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. It's so beautiful.
Thank you, Mary.
Enjoy.
Yeah. I have a feeling after getting that dressing down from Charlie that she's going to be calling the Children's Aid Society on me any moment now.
No, your children are grown up. I wouldn't have said that if you had young children. They can look after themselves. If you neglect them, they can look after themselves.
Okay.
Unfortunately, orchids can't, right?
Right.
Houseplants can't do that. You have to look after them.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
right. I'm going to start phoning you on Wednesdays.
As usual, she's right. Oh, my Lord. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We have a word or two from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and deal with a problem possibly coming out of High Park with Jean. Back in a moment here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, as promised, let's head to a nice part of Toronto, High Park. There's Jean. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
My rhododendron has lots of buds.
Great.
And to the summer, far away. So what's going to happen?
It should have lots of buds. This is the time of year when rhododendrons set their buds. Those buds should stay just tight little round green buds all fall, all winter. In the spring, they pop open.
Oh.
Yep.
I see. I am afraid because maybe during summer they're gonna die.
Oh no, they shouldn't. As long as you know, it's summer is ending.
I mean, not summer. I mean winter. Maybe no. Gonna die.
Well, they shouldn't. This is rhododendrons. If there's no buds now, there will be no flowers in the spring. This is when the buds are set. All you can do is make sure that if we get into some really hot, dry weather, make sure that you're watering that plant throughout the fall.
They like water.
Well, not to be soggy, but yes, in order to stay healthy and keep those buds, you don't want it to get super dried out. And sometimes we get funny weather in the fall, and some of those buds will start to open early.
Yeah.
But, cross your fingers that doesn't happen and they all stay nice and tight, ready to go for next spring.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Gina. A long holiday weekend.
Yeah,
hope you're having a good one already. Up to Collingwood. There's Diane. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I will be sure to stay tuned next Saturday.
Good.
Because I love the Metro Zoo. My brother and I were just talking about that yesterday when they were visiting here from Newfoundland.
Excellent.
All the fun we used to have there.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Yeah, it's
with
true.
The kids and all,
kids,
yes. So I'll be sitting on the edge of my seat waiting.
Waiting for that big announcement. Ooh, baby.
I will.
It's pretty exciting.
And so now I have, last summer I planted some hydrangeas. They're just small now, white cone shaped.
Oh, yeah.
Ones, but now, of course, the blooms are going brown and they don't look very nice. So I wondered if I should cut them off now, and if so, where should I cut?
I would leave them because you're saying they don't look very nice, but as the fall continues, autumn continues, eventually the leaves are all going to fall off and those flowers will still be there. They hold on all winter and they can be, in their own way, I think, quite ornamental.
Oh, okay.
So I usually leave them alone and they're there all winter, bronzy, showing up quite beautifully in the snow. In the spring, I do all kinds of trimming on my hydrangeas. All the hydrangeas get quite pruned back.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, you're not attracted to the look of these bronze and, sort of crinkly looking flowers, you can go ahead and prune them this fall, but I wouldn't do it quite yet. With all this warm weather that we've got happening, the plants are still actively growing, and if we do any pruning on our shrubs now, we will be actively promoting new fresh growth. And we don't really want our plants to have a lot of new fresh growth on them at this time of year because, believe it or not, winter is coming. So we want the plants to just hunker down and go to sleep like they should. So you can do whatever pruning you want, but wait another month or so. Like wait till end of September, middle of October, sort of weather dependent. We just want everything to be to be cooler, a little more dormancy to set in, and then it's fine to do whatever pruning you want.
Right, and I don't need to prune the size because they haven't grown so much.
Right.
But so where do I cut those blooms? Right at the bottom of the
if they're still small plants, I would just, and you mentioned that they're conical flowers, right? They're not round.
Right.
Yeah. So then just at the bottom of the flower, just go down to where the flower comes off of the stem and just clip right below the flower because you still want to encourage those plants to grow bigger for the future.
Yes. They're not where I want them yet.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, you folks have a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
And I invite you to join me on Monday, as a matter of fact. I'm going to be filling in for Norm Edwards from 1 to 6.
No holiday for you.
No.
You'll be laboring on Labor Day.
But I'll be listening to all the great Zoomer music we have.
That's right. And sharing it with all our great listeners.
Exactly. Oh, and look at this. Another reason for me to reach for the bell.
Oh, great.
Linda, a first-time caller from Oshawa. There you go. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about shade trees.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put a shade tree in my backyard to help shade the back of my house.
Right.
And it's a good distance from the house, but where I want to put it, I have a feeling there is a spring that runs through the back section of it. And I was wondering what would be the best trees to put in there that would be native to Canada so that they don't end up having the roots drown or something.
Right. Okay, well, no, that's an interesting question. I mean, what comes to mind, two sort of plants come to mind, willow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, willow is a, there's many kinds of willows. Of course, the weeping willow is the one we know the best.
Right.
And they love the moisture. That's their idea of a really good time. So that can be an excellent plant to plant in, and it'll actually help dry up if that's a damp area. A willow would help with removing some of that moisture if that's something that you're trying to achieve as well. Birch trees do quite well in areas where there's a fair amount of moisture. One that's not as big as either of those are elders. Elder typically isn't so much of a tree, it's more of a very large shrub.
Right.
But elders are very, very good in situations where there's a fair amount of moisture. They get beautiful flowers in the spring, and of course they also have very edible berries to make elderberry wine as the season progresses. So, there are certainly choices. I mean, certainly you could Google for more ideas, native North American plants in for moist areas.
Okay.
Silver maples, I guess it kind of just depends how big of a tree you ultimately want is
well,
to be.
Well, I wanted a fairly large tree to shade the back of our house.
Yeah, a silver maple.
Well, with all these hot summers,
yeah.
It's getting pretty bad out there. Mm-hmm. So.
And would this location that you're thinking of, is it on the south side of your house?
It's on the east side.
Oh, east side. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's an excellent idea. You're bringing up a really good point, which is in the summer, trees are covered in leaves, and they can, of course, provide some shade on our homes and keep them cooler.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall, all those leaves fall off, and in the winter, the leaves aren't there, and we can get that sun penetrating through the naked branches and warming up our houses.
Right.
So a deciduous tree planted on the right in the right location to be able to provide that shade is an excellent idea.
Well, I have a huge female spruce mm-hmm. on my front lawn. It was mm-hmm. there when we bought the home,
mm-hmm.
and it's shading almost the entire front of the house now.
Yeah, year-round.
That's why I was wondering about putting in the backyard, mm-hmm. but I don't want to put the same type of tree in the backyard.
No.
Because I want to be able to see the bird feeder and the rest of the
right.
yard.
Right, yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and so, yeah, and I think the other thing is you could do a little bit of a probing of the area where you're thinking to plant, making sure you're always remembering to be a distance away from the house, right?
Oh, you've got, it is. It'll yeah. be a good 10 to 15 feet from the house.
Okay, minimum.
The patio yeah. that we put in for the kids to play basketball in, and then it'll be about 3 or 4 feet from that.
Okay. Well, all right. So, yeah. So, even so, that's, you know, 10 to 15 isn't that far when it comes to some of the big trees. So yeah, you want to be as far as you possibly can be away from the house to allow the tree to achieve its full size.
Canopy.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, great. Thank
Thanks
you very much.
For calling.
You two have a great long weekend.
Well,
thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Linda, and thanks for being a first-time caller there.
Mm-hmm. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, exactly. Do not be a stranger.
Okay, but wait a minute. This is making me think of something.
Mm-hmm.
All this talk about trees. All right, so there's something that I subscribe to that is put out by the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food. So at the top of this, you can see ON for Ontario,
yes. mm-hmm.
and then nursery crops. So OMAFRA, or the ministry, they have these different blogs, weekly sort mm-hmm. of published blogs, particularly at this time of year. One is nursery. There's one for vegetables. There's one for turf.
Mm-hmm.
There might even be more. But either way, they send out these sort of little notes. Just comes into my mailbox yep. and I, you know, read what's going on. So this is one that came across, and it's exactly on the subject of trees. And that's why I just want to share this with everybody. See the photograph. There's a photograph of a young maple tree.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see on the stem or the trunk of the tree, there's a split
yep.
in the bark.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that wound. And the way this reads is there was quite a lot of dieback on woody shrubs and trees this spring and summer. Some of it is still just showing up. Vertical cracks in juvenile trees are nothing new for us in Ontario because we often will have that break. Mm-hmm. The bark will spontaneously break on typically the south and west side of a trunk. But this year we're seeing a little more than our fair share of damage, these vertical cracks. So the little blog goes on to say, let's take a peek back into 2017. And this is, I'm sharing this with you because this is what we often don't think of. We're living in the moment. But when it comes to trees, you got to think back because history has big
What's
impact.
Happened?
That's
yep.
right. So 2017, remember how cool and rainy it was? all that spring. Yeah. Remember that spring went on and on with lots of cool rain. Remember all those leaf diseases we had last year because of all that rain and all that humidity. We had tons of mildews all over the place. Like every leaf pretty well had something going on. Cool, rainy conditions promote vegetative growth, so lots of green growth, and many of our trees and shrubs responded with big, fat growth rings. So what that means is that if you cut down a tree today, you would see last year's growth as a much bigger growth ring than the average year, because it was so much rain, there was a lot more growth on average, last growing season than what we normally see. But remember, then we moved into a hot, dry September. So at this time last year, it got hot, it got dry. The temperature hovered around 30 degrees Celsius several days in a row through September and October. It was very warm. It finally stopped raining in the central part of the region of Ontario. Soils dried out and root hairs in the top few inches of the soil died off. The warm, dry weather continued into October. It was still warm in November. Like, you got to remember that. It was tropically warm October, November last year. Even the beginning of December was quite mild. Trees and shrubs weren't losing their leaves. Remember?
Yes,
lots
you're
of
right.
trees did not lose. Very unusual. The mild autumn slowed the plant's acclimation for winter. So it stalled the onset of dormancy and natural dehydration processes. So naturally and normally in the fall, cooler days, shorter days, all the liquids move out of the plants down to the roots. Leaves fall off. It's just a very natural process. It didn't happen last year. That moisture didn't move out.
Yeah.
The leaves never dropped. A lot of people thought their Japanese maples were dead, right? Because all the leaves were still hanging on the trees. So just it's just interesting. So you know, it's so when we're seeing some of these issues, then you know what happened. Well, winter came with a vengeance in mid-December. The temperature hammered down rapidly to -20 Celsius by early January. So this rapid temperature shift can be very devastating to plant tissue. So all that liquid was trapped inside those trees, in the trunks, in the branches. Suddenly, drop in temperature, what happens? Those liquids freeze and expand. What happens when they expand? Everything gets cracked and broken, the bark. All kinds of cells, tissues froze, cracked open, like just, again, not normal kind of situation. So the results are death of conductive tissue and sapwood, leading to rapid xylem tissue freeze, pops, and vertical cracks from the exterior of the bark. So that's that. So, you know, for anybody out there who's looking at their tree going, you know, just, it's
there?
Such a nice, was such a nice tree. I just planted it 2 years ago. It was looking so good. Now it's looking kind of scary. It, just remember, obviously, weather climate has huge impact on the health.
Right. Now, will those heal? Will that
if it's a healthy tree, if it's there's it was good healthy tree to start with, yes, it should seal the wound itself. No black pruning paint, just let it be. There's, you know, further follow up. Here's another picture where the plant has actually sealed out those wounds. So just, you know, something to keep in mind.
Good background material there, my
friend. Yeah. So I just want, so everybody, you know, there's always thinking and don't be blaming yourself. There's things you can't control, but things that you can are
Mother
keep
Nature
your plants,
is basically in charge in a lot
but,
of cases.
But keep your plants as healthy as you can so that they can withstand these adverse conditions.
Right. Okay. We're up to our next break, actually.
Okay.
So just a quick reminder here, we have a line open. If you'd like to call and talk to Charlie Dobbin, let's see, in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. The long holiday weekend here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, time to welcome an old friend back to the airwaves here. Siva here in Toronto. Good morning, Siva.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Okay, my butternut squash vines and pumpkin, they're so humongous. There's no sun getting to the root. Does that matter, or should I take out some of the leaves?
You're worried about sun getting to the root or to the actual
root. Does that matter? Because it does have a lot of large fruit on it.
Oh, no, that's fine. If anything, sometimes we'll remove the leaves just to help the fruit to ripen, you know, allow the sun in onto the actual squashes. But no, don't worry about exposing the base of the plant. If anything, those leaves are a good thing. They shade the soil and help maintain the moisture.
Yeah, okay, it's humongous. I don't know. Okay.
It's funny how big one plant gets.
I want to hear The Downtown Train on Monday by Rod Stewart. Okay.
We'll see if we can squeeze that in for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
I love it. People using the garden show to make requests for Monday.
Wow. I'll have to make a note of that.
Yeah, you better write that down.
Downtown Train, Rod Stewart. Okay. Every time we go to our next caller,
yes.
I think of the temperature and the current weather forecast here for Toronto. It's going to be very warm at 29 degrees, mainly sunny. Rick, up in White River, what's the forecast there for today?
Well, it might snow.
No. But you are getting some big rain, I think, aren't you?
Yes, right now it's overcast. We had good rain, yeah.
Yeah, some extreme rain. I was hearing about Sudbury and stuff, and it's like 15 degrees and pouring rain.
Oh, boy.
We had frost, too.
No, really?
Yeah, two nights of ice in the window.
Oh my Lord. Yeah, it cooled off here, so it really cooled off there. Wow. Well,
my question is, I picked milkweed seeds, and I put some in the fridge. Mm-hmm. And I still have some more, but when should I plant them? In the fall or in the spring or what?
So they're in the fridge now?
Well, some of them.
Okay, and were they from this year's milkweed or from
last year?
Last year. I'd be inclined to get those out of the fridge and outside. Were they collected in your local area or did you?
Well,
were you
Michigan.
Interesting. So local enough. So, did they have a passport when they came across?
Don't tell them.
bringing in plant parts, but we won't discuss that. So I would get them out. You want to put them into a very sunny location. Naturally and normally, milkweed will ripen in the fall, and you know the pods open up, and then they're like little feathery, very sweet little take off and blow in the wind seeds that land and sit there for the winter, and then spring, of course, they start to grow. So they do need that cool, and that's where the refrigerator came in, is a good thing. You know what? I'd be inclined to put some outside, you know, sprinkle them into a nice, open, sunny location. Mark where you've done it so you know not to walk there in the spring. And then also keep some in the fridge and sow them indoors in, say, March. Get a little bit growing and see if you can get them growing indoors just to, you know, cover off. Yeah. Making sure some of it grows.
Just in pots, eh?
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, milkweed's great. It's a great plant.
Is there another question I could ask, Frank?
You're going to get me in trouble.
Well, I forgot anyway.
There you go. Got me out of trouble in one fell swoop.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick, very much.
Bye-bye. Stay warm.
Yeah, stay warm. Frost, can you believe that, huh?
The way you said that. Frost. Your face just crinkled up.
Hey, maybe just around the corner, there's Marianne here in Toronto on the line. On the Garden Show. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie.
Good morning.
I have perennials in three stages, and I think they have to be pruned.
Okay.
The bleeding hearts are the fronds are hanging, laying down yellow.
Yeah.
And then daylilies, they're just growing green fronds all over.
Yeah.
And what my neighbor does with those is she cuts them down and they look like green paintbrushes coming out of the ground. And last year I didn't cut back my peonies and they looked, it was such a mess in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't know what I should prune and when.
Okay. So, good question. Here's a rule of thumb. When a plant, whatever the plant is, it could be a tree, it could be a shrub, could be a perennial, like the three you mentioned, peonies, daylilies, and bleeding hearts. When you see yellow or brown growth, so the might be flowers are finished, so we have deadheading to do, removing those brown flowers. Sometimes it's just like bleeding hearts. I find they're beautiful in the spring, beautiful flowers, fill up very shady corners for us. But as the season progresses, it gets really hot, they go dormant. So what you're seeing above ground is a lot of yellow and, as you point out, fall to the ground stems that were 3 feet tall, right? These are big plants.
Yeah.
So absolutely, get in there, you get your pruners, cut those bleeding hearts off at ground level, get all that mess into the composter.
That short?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they're not going to grow anymore this year. They have gone dormant for the rest of the season.
Okay.
The next time you're going to see your bleeding hearts is next spring.
Okay.
Now, the daylilies, because the name tells us, that flowers only last for one day. So it is appropriate to go out to our daylilies to deadhead, remove the crispy, not attractive flowers once they're finished.
Right.
The green leaves can be a little on the scraggly side as the season continues, but I would leave the leaves alone, allow them to just do their thing, unless there's just, you know, holes in some of the leaves or some of the leaves are yellow. Again, never hesitate to remove yellow or brown growth, but
right.
try and leave green growth alone, because
okay.
green growth is photosynthesizing and helping the plant grow
okay.
for the future. Now, peonies, a good case, a good sort of point there is they are early spring bloomers. If we were going to move them, we would be moving them now in the fall, so we would be digging and dividing if we felt we needed to move them. At some point, yet you definitely want to cut your peonies down to ground level in the fall. You said you didn't get to that last year, so this year it was all a mishmash of new growth and old growth. So for now, if you can get in there and, again, remove anything that's yellow or brown or just, you know, ugly, get that out of there. But wait another month or so before you go in there and just take the entire peony down to ground level. Wait until we get a frost. We need a good frost, which stops everything in its tracks, and it gives us that opportunity to do the sort of down-to-the-ground proper cleanup on many of our perennials.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Man.
So I know what I have to do today and what I have to wait and do next month.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
All
Marianne.
Right. The number of jobs there.
Yeah, that's right, a to-do list.
Yeah, exactly. In moments, we're going to be bouncing along to Bell Fountain and have a word with Nadine here on The Garden Show. Stay with us here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And just before we get to Nadine, Charlie and I were conversing about how far White River is away from Toronto. And I just GPSed it, and 1,004 kilometers would take roughly 10 hours and 15 minutes to get there.
The way you drive, it'll only be like 5 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, White River, I know it's Rick is a consistent caller, and we appreciate hearing from them, but it's not that far from Wawa. It's actually not even that far from Lake Superior.
No, it looks to be about 30 miles.
There's Thunder Bay right there. So, and I judged Marathon, the town of Marathon, which is about halfway between White River and Thunder Bay, or actually a little closer to White River, years ago as part of the Communities in Bloom program.
I
drove that road. So,
Now, let's find out a little bit about Bell Fountain. Mm-hmm. And Nadine is on the line. Good morning, Nadine.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent.
Good.
I have a million questions that I can ask, but I understand radio time is short. So my most pressing matter would be preparing my small vegetable garden with fertilizer for next year, and also mildew on cucumbers, which I experienced. So I was given a quantity of chicken gold in spring, and it seemed a little too gluey to try and mix into the soil, so no pun intended, but I chickened out.
So where is it now, or did you not take it?
My husband built a cage with wire and wood, and it's been there layered with leaves.
Oh, perfect.
And we turn it every now and again, so I don't know how much to use in the spring or if I should put it in the garden in the fall and let it break down further.
Well, okay, so with a very, what we would call a raw or green manure, so it's something that hasn't composted and dried out, the reason we don't want to go straight onto any plants with a super new manure is just because of the high level of ammonia, and you can end up with toxic conditions. So one of the ways, obviously, we know when we smell it, the farmers take all the raw manures and they put it out onto the fields in the fall, spreading it out there in the fall. We can smell it when we're driving down the highways. It's on the surface of the soil all winter. So the sun is beating down, the rain is, you know, the snow, everything else. And that helps to neutralize any of these hot aspects of the manure, the, mm-hmm. the ammonia, for example. So in your case, if you got it last year and you've had it mixed with leaves and you've been turning...
No, just in the spring.
Oh, in the spring. So you've been turning it. You could. It's up to you. You could get those leaves and incorporate them into your vegetable garden this fall, or you could wait and do that next spring. I wouldn't dig down too deep. I would just basically loosen the surface of the soil, the top couple inches, incorporating the it'll be a leaf mold. If you leave it all this winter and do what you've done, make sure you do add moisture. Make sure those leaves aren't dry. So you had the manure in there, you've got the leaves in there, keep the moisture on it. You will end up with beautiful, beautiful, what we call leaf mulch or leaf mold. And it's just, it's a wonderful, light, 100% organic, full of nutrient and life amendment to your soil.
It's still pretty gluey.
Yeah, but. So it's, well, okay, so how, what's, what kind of quantities? Are we talking like a pickup truck?
A garbage can full.
Oh, just a garbage can.
I just have a small garden.
Yeah, so keep adding the leaves. I mean, more are going to come down this fall, right? So just keep adding those leaves. Keep mixing. You could also add in other things if you wanted to. You know, leaves are good, but, you know, if you're deadheading some of your plants, throw that in there.
What about duck poo?
Well, you don't need to add duck poo to chicken poo.
Oh, no.
Right? We've already got the poo thing going.
Okay. No kidding.
So, right now it's a matter of finding the balance between that great poo that's got tons of activity in it and the carbon and the nitrogen, right? So, the carbon and nitrogen ratio is what you're working with there. So, your poo is full of nitrogen and your carbon is going to come from your leaves. You want about a 30-to-1 ratio. So just keep adding leaves this fall, keep stirring, and I think you'll find, if not early in the spring, by mid-spring, you'll be able to get that out into the garden.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Nadine.
Yeah.
All righty. Our final caller will be a first-time caller from Newmarket, Volker. There's your little welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm on the call. I'm on the phone.
Good.
Yep. What's going on?
We have some trees in the backyard that look like they're Japanese plum, have red leaves. They had buds in the spring when it was so warm, uh-huh. and then when the freeze happened, they just sort of stayed there and didn't turn into leaves. So they're just buds on the trees, otherwise the branches are bare.
Oh.
What else has happened, that's what I'm really calling about, on the top of the trunk, and the bottom of where the branches come out, there seems to be a white fungus now that's developed.
Okay. Mm.
And I don't know whether or not to take the trees out, or is there something I need to do to treat it?
Okay, so if those trees have not had any leaves on them at all, just buds this entire spring and summer, I'd say you're toast. I would say those plants are toast.
Okay.
The white stuff you're seeing is a fungus, and that is probably very naturally and normally growing in and on the tree, because the tree is dead and now the decomposers are going to work. And of course, what are fungus other than decomposers? So that's what they're doing. They're going to start that process of breaking that tree down. I would remove it.
Okay. That's great. Thank you very much.
You're
Thank
very
you,
welcome.
Volker. Nice to welcome you to the show.
Yeah, don't be a stranger.
Come on back.
Yeah, coffee's always on.
Thanks
or
so
it
much.
Used to be. I guess the coffee's not on as much now. There's no coffee to put on.
Yeah, well. I have to run across the street. And
there's lots of coffee shops around.
Yeah, exactly.
We can always get coffee.
Exactly. Golly, we've got about 20
Mere
seconds left here. Yeah.
So you know, no rest for the wicked. You're
no.
here for the weekend.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's good. Because
I'll be back at 1 o'clock today.
It'll be cool here, and it's going to get real hot outside, so you'll be happy to be inside working. Thanks, everybody. Great calls, great questions. And I'm back at school, so school starts, and I'll report to you on my new classes, my brand new students who I'll be meeting this coming Wednesday.
Next week, I'll bring an apple in for the teacher.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Thank you. Have a great weekend. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.